For me, for a short message this afternoon, is the believer's body. That's what I want to speak about. And I would like you to turn first of all to Romans, the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6. And verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, chapter 8, and verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that He which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the, or a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, finally, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 20, for our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change, fashion anew, our vile body, or better rendered, body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed, fashioned, like unto His glorious body, His body of glory, according to the working whereby he is able also to subdue all things unto himself. Now, to make it as simple as possible, what I have in mind about the body of the Christian, the body of the believer, in the scriptures that we have read, let me put it this way. We have read, first of all, about the body's plight. It's a mortal body. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, we have read about the body's proprietor. It's the Lord, it's God. That's what he says. We have read also about its purity. Members of Christ. And so on. I won't elaborate just now on that point. And we have also read in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, its purpose, the body's purpose, to glorify God. Verse 20. And finally here in Philippians chapter 3, and this verse 21, we have read about the body's prospect. The wonderful, miraculous prospect that is for our bodies as Christians, as believers, to be fashioned like unto Christ's body of glory at his coming. Now let's think briefly about those five things. The body's plight. The body, our bodies are mortal. These physical bodies are mortal. That's what it says. Chapter 6 and verse 12 that we read from, and also chapter 8 and verse 11. Death producing activities are working all the time in your body and mine. They're death-doomed, our body, death-doomed. We have no choice in the matter, except, of course, the coming of the Lord. If he comes, that the death sentence, as it were, their body has been lifted, the null. Unlike the body of our holy Lord while he was here on earth, his body was not subject to death. No. It was not liable to death. It was a body capable of death, yes. And he died. Voluntarily, he gave up his life. We have no option when it comes to death. First Corinthians chapter 15 tells us it's your body and mine is a natural body. That's sometimes rendered sensual. Natural as belonging to the soul. Our souls as the lower part of the immaterial man. And it might be rendered, as Mr. Vine tells us, it might be rendered bodies that are soul-governed by the soul. They're called, we read the verse, chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 21, bodies of humiliation. Now, I don't care myself for the term vile body. Yes, of course, our bodies are subject to sickness, sufferings, and weakness, and frailty, and all these things. But nonetheless, that word humiliation, by the way, our bodies of humiliation, That word is used about our holy Lord. The word humiliation itself in the book of the Acts chapter 8. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Mary, the mother of our blessed Lord, sang about the lowest state of his handmaid, lowest state. That's the same word. So there's nothing here or elsewhere to support the idea of violence about our bodies. Any thought of contempt for these frames of ours. So there's the plight of our body. And of course, we all have to agree. And those of you, especially who have got beyond the young age, you're only too conscious of the fact of mortality in these bodies. All the weakness, the frailty, and the sicknesses and diseases, and so on and so on. However, we have read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that your body and mine, beloved Christian here this afternoon, has a proprietor, has an owner, someone to whom it belongs. Ye are not your own, writes the apostle. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and, of course, in your spirit with your God. He's saying here in this chapter 6, a very solemn chapter, really, in the question of morality. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Your bodies are the members of Christ. Not alone by creation. Yes, he made them. Our bodies in themselves are products of divine power. Read lots of times Psalm 139. We referred to it here yesterday afternoon in another sense. But it's wonderful the things it said about the human being, his or her beginning, even from the womb, and so on. Wonderful. And David cries out, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Elsewhere in Psalm 119, whoever the writer was, he says that thy hands have made me. And fashionably. Oh yes, we sing that wonderful hymn. I think, in fact, we sang it yesterday, if my memory serves me right. Lord, we are dying, and so on. Our God, thou art. Fashioned and made we are by thee. And we went on to sing about our breath. Each breath we draw, and each pulse that beats, and each organ formed by skill divine. Each precious sense aloud repeats, great God, we are only thine. Yet, we are thine, we are his, by creation, every one of us, all creatures, all human beings, his, by creation. But of course, when it comes to the child of God, we are his by redemption. By the blood of Christ. That's the price that has been paid. Ye are bought, says Paul. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit with your God. It's proprietor. Let us remember that. That even these bodies, with all their weaknesses, with all their pronenesses to disease and death finally, with all their capability sometimes of wrong, of doing wrong, that still they are the Lord. He paid for it. He redeemed us by his precious blood, his proprietor. But now, let us think about its purity, which is taught very clearly in that chapter 6 that we read from here this afternoon. Yes, we're members of Christ. Imagine these bodies, members of Christ. And not only so, but a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the word temple there is not for the overall edifice of a temple, but for the inner shrine, if you like, the Holy of Holies. That's the idea. The holiest of all, in contrast to the entire structure. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, often quoted, tells me that upon believing, the moment I believed on Christ savingly, many years ago in my case, and maybe not so long as some of the rest of your cases, but the moment that you or I believe on Christ savingly, that very moment, 1 and 13 of Ephesians says, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We didn't have to pray later on for the Holy Spirit as some dear Christians do so ignorantly. Wesley said it right. Soon as my all eyes ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered. I was born of God. Not only born of God, but sealed. Sealed by the Spirit of God, as our verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1 tells us. Members of Christ are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're exhorted not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Our chapter here, chapter 6, brings before us a very sober and a very solemn consideration. That if I am sealed with the Spirit of God, if He indwells me, your body and mine, He indwells them, a temple of the Spirit of God, then those bodies should never be used for any unholy purpose. That's a very grave, very solemn, sober consideration. The urge at any time to do what is going to defile this body should be, as it were, quenched within our hearts. That consideration in itself should take care of all the thoughts about smoking and drinking alcohol and so on. All these things that are destructive to the body, the physical body. The misuse, as it were, of my body for any purpose is, shall I say, a desecration of it. It defines it, as our chapter tells us. You know, we hear sayings today from the ungodly that are insulting to God Himself. People say, women particularly are heard to say, these abortionists, my body's my own, I'll do what I like with it. Well, as far as the Christian's concerned, no. There's a little verse in the book of the Psalms. I may not be able to refer to it with a particular psalm, but the ungodly are quoted as saying, our lips are our own. Our lips are our own. Well, our lips are not our own as Christians. Our bodies are not our own to do whatever we like with them. No. So this idea, this thought of purity is indeed a very solemn, serious and sober thought. Its purpose the purpose for these frames of ours, these bodies of ours? Therefore, verse 20, glorify God in your body with all their mortality, with all their weaknesses and all the rest of it. Glorify God in them. You can do that. Paul said to the Philippians, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it's by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ. It'll be I'll use this body of mine to make greater, to make much of, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, didn't he write to the Galatians? I bear in my body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus. He could have shown you his back and the wheels that have been left on his back by the lashes that have been given him over and over again. The other means of torture that have been subjected to. He regards all these as brand marks of the Lord Jesus in this body. Its purpose there is to glorify God. Neither ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Understand, but ye yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, just quoting from Romans chapter 6. My body, your body, dear young believer here, or older one this afternoon, is meant to glorify, to magnify your Savior, my Savior. He used to sing an old hymn, let my hands perform his doing. Let my feet run in his way. Let mine eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. Oh, beloved, perhaps I could speak especially to the hearts of those of you who are young in Christ. And naturally speaking, if our Lord be not come, we hope he does. Come at any moment, we're waiting for him, we're longing for him. But should he not, then you may have still a good portion of life before you. Then may you be arrested with the thought that body you're living in day by day is the Lord. And its purpose is to glorify your blessed Savior that hung on the tree bearing your sins and the penalty of them. And use the members of your body to magnify him, to bring glory to him. Use those hands of yours. Let them give out the gospel papers, the gospel tracts, and so on. Let your lips speak words of testimony for himself in the workplace or the school or wherever else your lot may be cast. And so on and so on. Well, let me say in closing then, just a word about the prospect for these bodies of ours, beloved Christian here this afternoon. The Apostle John warns us that in chapter 3 of his epistle, that it's not yet manifest what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, Christ, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is. There remains many things that's impossible to say or hear. But we know a good deal already, of course, from the Word. The body, these natural bodies, 1 Corinthians 15, are to become spiritual. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Bodies that we now have, which are mortal, will then at the Lord coming be immortal, changed in a moment. And as we have borne the image of the earthly Adam, we have the Adamic image, as it were, man has had all down the centuries. As we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to be like him. As we have quoted already John saying, we shall be like him. Not only morally, But there will be that physical change take place that our verse particularly deals with here in Philippians chapter 3. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look or wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, His body of glory. How can it be done? How will it be done? Well, it tells us, according to the working whereby He is able also to subdue all things unto Himself. He used His divine almighty power that's going to bring everything on this earth into subjection to Him. He's going to use that same power in bringing about that miraculous change that is coming in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll all be brought about. And these bodies will be fashioned anew, fashioned like unto His body of glory. Is it so? My brother over here, Andrew, he's very fond of giving out Darby's hymn. Is it so we shall be like thy Son? Is this the grace that He for me has won and so on? Yes, it is. It is so. And thank God it will all be brought to pass. Any moment, any day, when our Lord appears in the glory and we're immediately caught up to be with Him and to be like Him in an instant. Oh, what a prospect, what a glorious prospect there is for these poor natural bodies of ours, these mortal bodies, changed in a moment of time and fashioned like unto our Lord's own glorious body. May the Lord just bless these considerations that we have had about our bodies, along with other ministry that we'll receive this afternoon, and of course the preaching of the gospel.